RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Belgium focuses on cooperation with Indonesian higher education. Indonesia-Belgium bilateral relations progressing significantly. Now, the news in details. Belgium is currently increasing cooperation with Indonesia in various sectors. That was stated by Belgium Ambassador to Indonesia, Patrick Herman, during the Belgium King's Day commemoration of the Belgian residence in Jakarta on Thursday. In his remark, Ambassador Patrick Herman said that one of the cooperation currently being focused by Belgium is higher education.
We have been focusing very much on cooperation with universities, between universities, and also with the state deputy over the past months, with a number of our universities coming to Indonesia now to finalize very concrete projects with Indonesian universities.
Ambassador Patrick Herman added that many Indonesian students came to Belgium through LPDP program of Indonesian Finance Ministry. In addition to education and health, Belgium had been exchanging medical information with hospitals in Indonesia. In his remark, the Belgian ambassador is expecting further cooperation in research and technology with Indonesia. In recent years, the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Belgium have been progressing significantly. That was stated by Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, in his remarks during Belgium's King's Day's commemoration at Belgian residence in Jakarta on Thursday. He said the cooperation between the two countries has also increased in various sectors, such as in higher education and culture.
We witness significant progress our bilateral relationship. Our cooperation has broadened and strengthened many important sector countries. Investment, education, culture, people-to-people contacts.
Minister Muhammad Nasir further said that all the advancement in bilateral relations has been achieved by great commitment between Indonesian and Belgian government in intensifying cooperation, including in the coming years. One of those commitments had been proven by the visit of Indonesia Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla to Belgium in October, as well as the participation of Indonesia in the Europhilia that is being held in Brussels, Belgium. Management of the Mass Rapid Transit MRT project in Jakarta has teamed up with the Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, in research and human resources development through training. Both parties also agreed to exchange relevant data and other documents. MRT President Director William Sabandar during the signing ceremony stated in a press statement on Thursday that it is a collaboration involving the campus, the industry, and the government to develop human resources. The ITB has a train development program through its National Center for Sustainable Transportation Technology. This synergy will have a positive impact for both MRT development and national public transportation in general. The agreement, which was signed by William and ITB Rector Kadarsah Suryadi in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday, will be evaluated every 5 years. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Batik Air, a subsidiary of Lion Air Group, is planning to buy 7 Airbuses next year. Batik Air President Director Ahmad Lutfi said in Jakarta on Thursday that the purchase will be made in a bid to expand Batik Air business. The airline currently has 51 planes serving 38 domestic and international destinations with a frequency of 280 flights a day. Lutfi added that before the end of the year, the company will open 3 new flight routes, 2 domestic and 1 international. The first route is Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Jakarta to Silangit Airport in North Sumatra on December 1st. On December 15, Batik Air will make a maiden flight to Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. Batik Air has long been planning to open a new route to the tourist destination. Ahmad Lutfi also said that the airline will go ahead with the plan after the airports in the two regions have been upgraded for Airbus 320 landing. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has so far signed contracts with a number of private companies for the construction of power plants with the capacity of generating 31,000 megawatts. As part of the implementation of the government's program to procure an extra 35,000 megawatts of electricity by 2019. PLN President Director Sofian Basir said at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry in Jakarta on Thursday that by the end of this year, there will be contracts to construct another 600 megawatts of power plants. He added that several power plants as part of the 35,000 megawatt electricity program have also come into operation. On Thursday, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan witnessed a signing ceremony of 9 power purchase agreements between PLN and private companies, which will construct the power plants. The power plants to be constructed are 1 hydro power plant, 1 geothermal power plant, and 7 mini hydro power plant. Premier Oil is seeking buyers for a 25% stake in the Tuna Field development in Indonesia after reaching a gas sale deal with Vietnam. This was stated by Chief Executive Tony Durant in a statement on Thursday. Premier and SKK Migas signed on November 10 an agreement to sell gas to Vietnam from the Tuna development, Premier said in a trading update. Durant said that the field holds around 500 billion cubic meters of resource. The offtake agreement represents a significant step forward in the potential development of the field, envisaging using a new cross-border pipeline to connect the Tuna area to the existing Nam Con Son pipeline system in Vietnam. Premier will conduct appraisal drilling for the project into 2019 and will likely make a final investment decision in early 2020. The UK-focused oil and gas explorer owns a 65% stake in the fields and will seek to sell up to a 25% stake to a partner in order to help finance the development. The Bengkulu Provincial Administration will hold sport tourism event called Tour de Rafflesia in 2018 to promote tourism in the province known as the habitat of the giant flower Rafflesia or Noldi. The event also aims to support the Visit Wonderful Bengkulu 2020 program. During the Tour de Rafflesia event, participants and foreign tourists will be invited to visit several forests, such as those in central Bengkulu, Kapahiang, and north Bengkulu. Recently, acting governor of Bengkulu, Rohidin Mersyah, has visited a habitat of the Rafflesia arnoldi flower in the Bukit Daun protected forest in North Bengkulu. He found 2 Rafflesia arnoldi flowers in full bloom during the visit. The rare and unique Rafflesia arnoldi flower is known internationally and is an icon for the province tourism. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our regular program commentary. For the commentaries today, the title is Resignation of Australian Official Due to Dual Citizenship and Government Stability. The rules of dual citizenship resulted in the resignation of a number of politicians who became Australian state officials. 3 days ago, Senator Jackie Lambie of Tasmania declared his resignation because he is also a British national from his father's lineage. Lambie Spider, who was born in Scotland, England, made him to have British citizenship as stipulated in the United Kingdom Act. Jackie Lambie might not be the last, nor is the first state official to step down due to Australian legislation. Some officials who have lost their jobs are Matthew Canavan, Minister of Resources and North Australia. He was the third official to resign in July. Matthew is known to be Italian citizenship from his father. Two members of Australian Green Party were also forced to resign this month after it was revealed that a person has Canadian citizenship and another one is New Zealand citizenship. In addition, there was also Senator Stephen Perry. The Australian politicians have shown their consistency and commitment to comply with laws and regulations that prohibit members of parliament and government officials with dual citizenship. Although they were not involved in making the act, they respect and obey. The High Court of Australia consistently imposes the rule of law if it is proven that there are members of parliament serving in a dual national government. As a country originally founded by immigrants from Europe, dual citizenship was quite possible, as some Western European countries imposed citizenship rules based on lineage or lius sanguinis. Lius sanguinis or jus sanguinis are citizenship rights obtained by a person based on the nationality of his father or biological mother. Hence, the case of the resignation of some parliamentarians or government officials due to dual citizenship cannot be called a victim of political conspiracy. All that can be said is that the parliament members with dual citizenship should examine their originality first. Openness to disseminate information that makes any person or media be able to uncover dual backgrounds of citizenship can bring about an impact on the resignation of those officials in the future. The definite impact is on the sustainability of governance. It may resign. The running of the federal government can be disrupted. In addition, the composition of government and support in the parliament may also be disrupted. Prime Minister Turnbull is fearing it because support for his government was no longer a majority. As more and more government officials prove to be involved in a dual citizenship, this could trigger further crisis. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We begin the segment with an event that happened on November 17, 1983. Zapatista National Liberation Military was established in Mexico. Zapatista National Liberation Military was established on November 17, 1983. It was armed revolutionary force with its headquarters of Chiapas, one of the poorest provinces in Mexico. Mostly the members of this military were traditional people, but they also had members from urban people. Their spokesman, Subcomandante Marcos, said that all commanders were from Maya tribe, Indian American. Zapatista was derived from an agrarian figure and Mexican revolutionary fighter Emiliano Zapata. Since Zapatista National Liberation Military was terminated in 1994 by Mexican military, it no longer involved in military attack, and they had tried to gain support both nationally and internationally. The next event is on November 17, 2003, actor Arnold Schwarzenegger was installed as governor of California. Arnold Alois Schwarzenegger was an actor, a bodybuilder, a Republican, and a businessman. He was installed as the 38th governor of California from 2003-2011. He won the election on October 7, 2003 to replace Gray Davis. Initially, he was an Austrian citizen. Then he moved to the United States of America in 1968. Since 1983, he had double nationality, which is American and Austrian. The last event is on November 17, 2013. Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363 crashed and 50 people died. Tatarstan Airlines is supervised by AK Bors Aero. The Tatarstan Airline Flight 363 was scheduled to fly from Moscow to Kazan, Russia. On November 17, 2013, Tatarstan Airlines Boeing 737-500 crashed in Kazan International Airport when landing. At least 44 passengers and 6 crews died. Consequently, the airport was closed for 24 hours and reopened on November 18. The circuit camera recorded how the plane crashed, bumped down, and exploded. Among the casualties, there was son of President of Tatarstan, Irek Minikanov, along with Chief of Tatarstan Regional Federal Service Security, Alexander Antonov. Listener, that's the end of Today in History for today.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Focus. Today, we'll talk about Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked the European Union to stop discrimination of palm oil products. President Joko Widodo demanded that discrimination against oil palm in the European Union must be stopped immediately. A number of policies which are detrimental to economic interests and damaging the image of palm oil producing countries should also be eliminated. The request was expressed by President Joko Widodo at the summit conference of the 40th anniversary of ASEAN-European Union Partnership Cooperation held in Manila, Philippines on Tuesday, November 14. When delivering the speech, President Joko Widodo said, "Many people are now doing terror on the growth of palm oil production in ASEAN countries." The President of the European Union Parliamentary Resolution and a number of European countries on palm oil and deforestation, as well as black campaigns, not only harm the economic interests, but also damage the image of palm oil producing countries. Whereas the sector is very close to poverty alleviation effort, narrowing the development gap, as well as inclusive economic development. President Joko Widodo explained that there are currently 17 million Indonesians who directly or indirectly live related to palm oil. As much as 42% of palm oil production is also produced by small farmers in rural areas. The statement of President Joko Widodo was also fully supported by Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak. On the same occasion, Prime Minister Najib Razak said, "Discrimination against the palm oil industry harmed more than 600,000 small farms in Malaysia. Indonesia and Malaysia are the world's palm oil producing countries." President Joko Widodo stressed that Indonesia understands the importance of sustainability issues or palm oil sustainability. The policies related to the sustainability have been developed, including sustainable palm oil plantation and palm oil management systems in Indonesia. Crude palm oil or CPO products currently has 187 non-tariff barriers, and CPO derivative products also has 171 non-tariff barriers in Indonesia's trading partners. Earlier, in March 2017, the European Union Parliament called Indonesia's palm oil damaging the environment as it was produced by converting natural forest and peatlands so that causing recurrent fires. The Indonesian government then delivered a protest note on the European Union Parliament's position. That was the focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Management of the Mass Rapid Transit MRT project in Jakarta has teamed up with the Bandung Institute of Technology ITB in research and human resources development through training. Batik Air, a subsidiary of Lion Air Group, is planning to buy 7 Airbuses next year. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has so far signed contracts with a number of private companies for the construction of power plants with a capacity of generating 31,000 megawatts as part of the implementation of the government's program to procure an extra 35,000 megawatts on electricity by 2019. Premier Oil is seeking buyers for a 25% stake in the tuna field development in Indonesia after reaching a gas sale deal with Vietnam. The Bengkulu Provincial's administration will hold sport tourism event called Tour de la Flesia in 2018 to promote tourism in the province known as the habitat of the giant flower Proflesia arnoldi. Listener, that was News in Brief over Air Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Kansodaa Custom Procession. So stay tuned. Listener, on November 11 to 13, Wakatobi Wonderful Festival and Expo 2017, or Wakatobi Wave 2017, was just held at Panggulu Belo Port on Wangi-Wangi Island, Wakatobi Region, Sea Southeast Sulawesi Province. The festival is a symbol that the Wakatobi people are committed to appreciate and preserve the richness of their leading maritime cultures. Wakatobi government hopes the Wave 2017 performance can support the achievement of foreign tourist visit. The opening of Wakatobi Wave event begins with Karya Wakatobi Great Procession featuring customary lineage, cultural contingent of each island, Lenco dancers group, coastal costume carnival, and Indonesia Wonder decorative vehicles. In addition to the cultural parade, the opening ceremony was also enlivened by the performance of the colossal dance performance, which was exhibited by more than hundreds of Wakatobi teenage dancers. Throughout the 2017 Wakatobi Wave event, various dances, music, traditional art performances, folk games, carnivals, and traditional culinary festivals were held. From various performances, many tourists just look forward to Kansodaa Custom Procession. Makan Soda Appreciation is a custom performed by every family in Wakatobi, especially those who have girls. Kansoda'a is a symbol of the pride of the Wakatobi family that has grown daughters. Parents want to show their daughter has grown well. In addition, the procession is also a place for the youth of Wakatobi to show their strength. Listener, every girls of Wakatobi society will go through Kansoda'a procession when growing up. The traditional procession is usually held once a year after Lebaran Day. When the ritual procession takes place, they use custom clothing complete with brightly colored accessories that are dominated by gold color. Their heads are decorated with a crown-like ornament made of various kinds of flowers and bird feathers. During the procession of Kansoda'a, 2 to 4 young women sat on large wooden stretchers and paraded around the village, while brothers of the girls lift the stretcher. Along the way, they will sing and shout to attract the attention of the neighbors. The young men also shook the stretcher in all directions, while the girls are not allowed to show their fear as a symbol of the majority. The young women who still have family relationships then dance while singing around the procession. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Kansoda'a Traditional Procession. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feasts, while Idul Adha is frequently called a sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it a sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Listener, today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same. Slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered too poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means brave. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held after Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abdau is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abdau fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meters high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitri or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 95.5 kHz, live streaming of english.rriworldservice.com or our mobile application RRI Play through and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida.
Jangan.
listener, Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S, and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired, but it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer, and she sang a lot of Nano S songs, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetty Koes Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Jangan anu luas, solo
Listener, just like the title, the song composed by Nano S described everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meidau through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetty Koes Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetty Koes Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese-speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetty Koes Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetty Koes Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
Tiba.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.